Happy Mother's Day, ladies. Am I not on? I'll try that one more time. Happy Mother's Day, ladies. Oh, we should celebrate our mothers all day, every day, each and every day as we head off to work or school with our packed lunch, as we get home to our cooked meals and dinners. Possibly that's your role, possibly not, but mothers are amazing, the role that they carry, what they do for us. Most of it is behind the scenes and easily forgotten or taken for granted. But how many people here today could say they would not be the individual they are today without the mother they had in their life? Yes, so thank God for mothers. Thank God. He even entrusted his one and only son to a mother, Mother Mary, Jesus' mother. So, mothers are awesome. Let's open in a word of prayer, and then we'll get to the message. Father, we thank you, Lord God. God, for the mothers you've placed in our lives, God, both physical, biological, God, and God, extra bonus moms, God. And Father, for those spiritual moms you've placed in our lives, God, to give us guidance and counsel when we need it, God, we just thank you. God, for the mothers you've placed around us to help build and grow and develop us, to educate us, God, into the men and women that we are today. God, we give you praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Take your call. Wish your mother happy Mother's Day. Please silence your cell phones if you haven't done so already. I'm going to announce this a couple times, but just for you ladies in the house, there are a bunch of flowers on the back table there. They're potted plant flowers, so if you would grab one of those. Our gift to you, our children's department has purchased those for the mothers of the Life Center today. If you're a guest or a tender, either way, just grab one on the way home. Pick out your favorite one. Go plant it and know that you are loved and you are favored. All right. So there was this lady returning home from doing the grocery shopping. She's walking up her walkway, and as she walks up her walkway, she notices this old, tired, weary dog coming down the street toward her. And he looked like he came from a good home and was very well cared for, but he just looked tired and weary. And she said, "Hey, dog," and he kind of wagged his tail and moved along. And she opened the door to her house, and he let himself in and went promptly into the kitchen and laid down in front of the register, blowing cool air out of the AC unit, and just laid down on our kitchen floor and fell asleep. And it was kind of odd. She went about putting her groceries away, and in a couple of hours, the dog awoke, and he went and scratched at the front door. She said, "Well, I'll let him out." She went to the front door, opened it, and he left. Next day, kind of same routine, and pretty soon, a few weeks go by, and it's a daily routine. This dog shows up, takes a nap at the house, lets himself out, and away he goes. Finally, she decides, "I gotta figure out where this dog's coming from." So she pins a note to his collar. Says, "I don't know who this dog belongs to, but he stops by my house every afternoon, takes about a 2-hour nap, and then returns home." So the next day comes around, and the dog has another note pinned to its collar. Said, "Hey, this dog, he comes from a household of 10 children. He's just tired and weary. Can I come with him tomorrow and take a nap?" Often mothers just need an escape once in a while. They need just a snack and a nap. Sometimes it's that simple, and sometimes we overlook all that mothers do, and we discredit the, "Oh, I'm just a stay-at-home mom." And that is such a high value. That is such a high place in the kingdom of God. A stay-at-home mom, in my opinion, is one of the greatest jobs you can ever have, raising and training and developing the next generation, planting seeds of the fruit of the Spirit into their lives, into their souls, for an eternal purpose. Like, it's great if they grow up to be doctors and lawyers and professional athletes and maybe even presidents. And that's great. But you know what's even bigger? is that they inherit the kingdom of God for eternity. That is the highest calling, is to walk in eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ. And how can they do that lest someone should teach them? Mothers have a great responsibility. Whether physically, biologically mothered, stepmother, maybe you're just an adopted mother, maybe you're a spiritual mother, or maybe you're not any mother at all and you need to become a mother. And possibly you're playing that widower role, the husband who has lost his wife or doesn't have a wife, and you have to step in and try to fill that nurturing gap that God created women to be for children. And that's a difficult role as well, because most men aren't wired that way. Not an easy role. But we still, mothers, it's a big role to fill. But children need mothers. Society needs mothers. I'm probably going to use the most unlikely scripture passage today for Mother's Day. But I feel it's the one the Lord led me to, and hopefully by the end of it, you can agree with me. 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 16 through 28. 1 Kings chapter 3, we'll read through the passage and then we'll dissect it. This passage is titled, A Wise Ruling. Now two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. One of them said, Pardon me, my lord, this woman and I live in the same house, and I had a baby while she was there with me. The third day after my child was born, this woman also had a baby. We were alone. There was no one in the house but the two of us. During the night, this woman's son died because she lay on him. So she got up in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while I, your servant, was asleep. She put him by her breast and put her dead son by my breast. The next morning, I got up to nurse my son, and he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning light, I saw that it wasn't the son I had born. The other woman said, No, the living one is my son, the dead one is yours. But the first one insisted, No, the dead one is yours, the living one is mine. And so they argued before the king. The king said, This one says, My son is alive and your son is dead. While that one says, No, your son is dead and mine is alive. Then the king said, Bring me a sword. So they brought a sword for the king. He then gave an order, Cut the living child in two, and give half to one and half to the other. The woman whose son was alive was deeply moved out of love for her son and said to the king, Please, my lord, give her the living baby. Don't kill him. But the other said, Neither I nor you shall have him. Cut him in two. Then the king gave his ruling. Give the living baby to the first woman. Do not kill him. She is his mother. When all Israel heard the verdict the king had given, they held the king in awe because they saw that he had wisdom from God to administer justice. We're going to talk today a little more about the hardship side of the mother. It's not always an easy role. There are hard things to overcome as a mother, as a loving parent. And men, you don't get to sleep because this applies to us as well. We're just directing it towards mothers today. But life is hard and life is messy sometimes. And we come up against some unforeseeable circumstances. What are we going to do when life gets hard? Who are we going to turn to when life gets hard? What are we going to say? How are we going to react or respond to those around us when life's not going quite our way? Verse 16 through 18, you have these two prostitutes. I doubt ever any little girl ever grew up and said, When I grow up, I want to be a prostitute. I doubt there's ever been one. But somewhere along life's journey, these women were put in a position to where this was their only occupation, the only way they could sustain a living. not their choice, not their wishes. Sometimes becoming a mother wasn't by your choice or your wishes. Sometimes the dream plan you had mapped out for being a mother wasn't by your plan or choice or wishes. It had a few speed bumps along the road. There's hardship, there's loss. These women not only are prostitutes, not only feeling rejected by society, not only feeling objectified by society, not only feeling discriminated against by society, but they're living alone, together in this house, sharing space with one another. Mothers have to share space. They don't often get their own space. And if all they get is Mother's Day, shame on us. They should get a lot more than Mother's Day to have some space and time alone, to be with the Lord, to be doing what they enjoy doing. These women, I think about them in this house, and they're there giving birth alone. Like, we had our children in the hospital, and sometimes it felt like maybe we were under-equipped. But they're in this house alone, giving birth to their children, helping one another through the process. Sometimes motherhood feels lonely, and it feels like you've been abandoned by all. It feels like you've been left out to die. They obviously knew what they were doing because they both survived. Then we move into 19 and 21. During the night, this woman's son died. Sometimes we suffer death and loss. Sometimes a mother's heart is broken in two, is ripped apart from tragedy, from turmoil, from circumstances outside of their own doing and hand. What a horrible thing. But we still have to love them through it. They still need love and care and support. Not only that happens, but the mother of the dead child tries to do a little switcheroo act. Tries to steal the other woman's baby, being defrauded. Sometimes mothers have things stolen from them. It creates a wounded heart. I really feel that God wants to heal some wounded hearts today. He wants to bring restoration to his people today. Because that's what Jesus came for, to bind up the brokenhearted, to restore that which was lost, that which the enemy meant for evil. He wants to turn it for good. There was lies, there were deceits. What was theirs was now, well, what was one of theirs was now stolen, and the other one was stolen through death. But now lies are being exchanged. How do you overcome the lies of the enemy telling you you're not good enough? You'll never measure up. It was your fault. Nobody loves you. Nobody cares. You have to do it on your own. Nobody's going to help you. How do you battle those lies of the enemy? Do you give in to them and become subject to them? Or do you take them to Jesus and say, Father, I need the renewing of my mind to the mind of Christ. Who do you say I am? We can go back to Genesis. In his image and likeness, in the image of the Godhead, the three in one, he created us, the human race, male and female. In his image, he made them. Okay, if I go back to ground zero, I am made in God's image and likeness. Therefore, I don't have to believe these lies that the enemy speaks over me, because I know who God says I am. Verses 22 and 23, the fights begin to ensue, the argument. That's my child, this is your child, my child, your child. Yours is alive, mine's alive. Sometimes there's arguments, there's fights, there's false words spoken. Just because it's spoken doesn't make it true. Whose report will you believe over your life, over your children, over who people say you are? Verse 24 and 25. Then the king said, bring me a sword. So they brought a sword for the king. He then gave an order, cut the living child in two and give one half to one and one half to the other. Ugh, that's harsh judgment. Mothers sometimes are in dire need of a better ruling. Have you ever been to a point of devastation? Have you ever been at the end of your rope? Have you ever thought all hope was lost? The king just gave an order to cut my kid in two. How do you respond? I love this mother's response. I would rather have you live than have half of you. Sometimes mothers make great, great sacrifices. Moving into verse 26, the love of a mother is sacrificial. I will give whatever it takes for my child to have life. I will show up wherever I need to show up for my child to have life. The true hearts are revealed when put to the test. How is your heart as a mother? How is your heart as a father? How is your heart as a citizen of the kingdom of God? Your true heart is put to test when it comes under fire, when it comes under pressure. How you respond in those moments reveals your heart. Verse 27, I love this verse. Then the king gave his ruling, give the living baby to the first woman. Do not kill him. She is his mother. This is what God is all about, restoring what the enemy has taken, restoring what the enemy has tried to steal, kill, and destroy from you. We serve a God of restoration. If you will lean into him, if you will trust him with your broken, raw heart, say, God, I need you. I need a savior. I need healing. I need restoration, because this is the business that our God is in until the second coming of Christ. Verse 28, when all Israel heard the verdict the king had given, they held the king in awe because they saw that he had wisdom from God to administer justice. You need the wisdom of God in your life to overcome your difficulties, your hardships, your unforeseen circumstances that look like they're going to end in turmoil. You need the wisdom of God in your life. I hope that you invite the wisdom of God into your situations, into your everyday life, into your workplace, into your home, into your places of hobby and recreation and enjoyment. I hope that you invite the wisdom of God into those places. Say, God, this is beyond me. I need your wisdom. I need your insight. I need your counsel. Because Jesus promised us when he left, when he ascended back to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit to be our comforter and counselor. We have the wisdom of God if we will lean into him in those situations. Sometimes parenting's messy. Sometimes life is messy. How do you respond when failure strikes? Just yesterday, I had a huge failure. We were playing for the district championship, our baseball team that I coach on. We were set up to win it. We had the team to do it. Got late in the game. The score was 7-6. We were up. And then we had this really awful play that was horrible. And as a coach, I'm standing on the sidelines going, no, 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 melting down internally, keeping composure externally. And I know my kids are doing the same thing on the field. And all of us coaches are doing the same thing on the sidelines. It's like, please, no, stop the bleeding. And it should have been a dogfight right to the end, because we were pretty evenly matched, two top teams in the state, and it should have just been a dogfight. But the last inning and a half, we completely came undone and fell apart, and it was failure after failure after failure after failure. And then it was like, ah! Sometimes that's what parenting looks like. Sometimes maybe you're the player on the field that's melting down and falling apart, and just it looks like a yard sale. Or maybe you're the parent, the coach on the sideline watching your kid and there's nothing you can do about it. You've trained, developed them to this point and like set them free and like you're making a really bad mess of things right now. The good news is we still get to play in the state tournament this weekend. We still have a chance of the state title, which I believe we have a very good chance at taking. But we've got to recover from the failures of yesterday and move on or refocus and regroup for the championship of next weekend. In our lives, it's the same way. Don't get stuck on your failures. The only failure you really have is when you stop moving forward. When you stop, then you failed successfully. But success is this. It's going from failure to failure with the least loss of enthusiasm. Overcoming obstacles and hardships and bad days and bad decisions and saying, you know what, I screw up today, but I'm going to do better tomorrow. I didn't glorify God with my words today. I didn't glorify God with my actions today. I didn't glorify God with my parenting today. I didn't glorify God in my marriage today. But I'm going to go and do better tomorrow and bring glory and honor to His name. And I'm going to continue doing better. And I may fall again, but I'm going to get back up and do better. So the Word of God tells us, a righteous man, though he falls, he rises again and again and again. Keep getting back up, no matter how bad life has hurt you, no matter how rough and raw it has gotten, get back up to live another day, to fight another day, to do better another day. Now we've kind of looked at the ugly side of all the hardships we can face. Now we're going to look through some passages and see what the Word of God instructs us to be as followers of Christ Jesus. Jump into the Word. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. Some of these are directed at women, but we can also grab on to the men because we too are made in God's image and likeness. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. It would help if I wasn't in 1 Timothy. Don't you love it when you do that? Maybe I'm the only one. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. Just before this, it's talking about wives adorning themselves with makeup, earrings, fancy clothes, jewelry, whatever, whatever. You can read that if you want in chapter 3. But picking up verse 4, rather it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. How are we supposed to be? We're supposed to have inner beauty. Not just outward or external beauty, but internal beauty. Do you have a gentle and quiet spirit? The Word of God tells us that Jesus is humble and lowly in heart or spirit, and we're supposed to be like Him. Not silent. Silence's a whole different one, but quiet. Quiet and still and gentle. How do you present yourself to those around you? Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. Deuteronomy 4, 9. Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget these things your eyes have seen, or let them fade from your hearts as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Like, we have a responsibility to testify of the goodness of God in our lives to our children, our grandchildren, if we live long enough, our great-grandchildren, if we live even longer, our great-great-grandchildren. We have a responsibility to carry the testimony of the goodness of God to the generations beyond us. Don't forget about the good things the Lord has done in your life, in your family, in your history. Continue testifying of the goodness of God. Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 9. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hearts, on your hands, and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames of your houses and on your gates. We're to teach and instruct our children in the ways of the Lord according to his commandments. What does living righteously before God look like? We're to teach them at all times, in all places, in all ways. I tell my daughter I love her. Teach them all ways, all days, about the goodness of God, about his laws, his rules and regulations for our lives, of how we are to live righteously before him. What is pleasing to God? It's not that hard to figure out. Just read his book, his manuscript for life. This is an instruction manual for life. If you want to please God, know his word and adhere to it. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Kids, listen up. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. It is wise to give honor to your parents, to listen to their instruction and teaching. This will help you prosper, and it will help you have a long life. Do you want to have a long life? Be wise and obey and honor your parents in all that you do. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 through 9. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland of grace on your head and a chain to adorn your neck. I also wanted to read this in the Passion Translation, and I forgot my phone. I don't generally use the Passion Translation, but I love how it says it in here. Proverbs 1, verses 8 and 9. Pay close attention, my child, to your father's wise words, and never forget your mother's instructions, for their insight will bring you success, adorning you with grace-filled thoughts, and giving you reins to guide your decisions. Mothers, fathers, you should be giving wise advice and counsel to your kids. And if you don't have it and don't know the answer, God gives us the Holy Spirit to seek for those answers. We've come up against walls in our parenting, like what we're doing is not working. We're running this train into the ground. We need to shift some things. We're at the end of our thoughts, our knowledge, our understanding. God, we need help. God, what do you say to do at this point? Because we have three very different children. They've grown up in the same home with the same parents, but they're parented very differently. They are three very different individuals. And what worked for this one doesn't work for this one and won't work for that one. Like, I hope you understand that, parents. Like, you can't parent all your children. I mean, you can, but you're going to wreck some of them. You're going to drive them into a wall. And maybe all your kids are exactly the same. I don't know your family, but I know mine, and it's very different. But it's our job to instruct and train them that they could have great decisions later in life, that they could have success in life. I hope my kids go on and far surpass me successfully. In the physical, in the spiritual. I hope they do better than we did. And we did good, I think. Moving along. Proverbs 31, verse 10. This whole passage of Proverbs 31 is good, but we're just going to pull a few passages or verses out of it. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10, a wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Do you live a life of noble character? What do people say about you in the workplace, in your home, in the community? Do you live a life of noble character? Because the Word of God calls us to, so that we are great ambassadors of Jesus Christ. And when we do that, it's worth far more than rubies or precious gems or stones. Live a life of noble character. Wherever you go, whatever you do. Proverbs 31:25. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. Are you clothed with strength and dignity? Do you laugh at the days ahead? Are you terrified of the days ahead? If you watch the news, you're probably slightly terrified, but I don't pay attention to that much. I say, God, what do you say? He's given us a manuscript for the end. Tells us what to look out for, what to be aware of, what it's going to look like. We should look ahead and laugh. Yeah, you might have won a battle, Satan, but God's going to win the war. God's prepared a place for me in eternity, and he wins the war. End of story. And whatever I'd have to do to get there, I'm going to live with strength and dignity on my way. And I'm going to laugh because I know who wins. And it might be tough, and I might have to smile through tears some days. And I might have to smile through guilt and shame some days. But my God came to restore me, and I can do better tomorrow. And in the end, he wins. Verse 26, she speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Some translations say, and kind instruction is on her tongue. Do you speak with wisdom and kindness when you speak to those around you? Or are you sharp and jaded, disrespectful, dishonoring? Because the Word of God calls us to speak with wisdom and kindness or faithfulness or trusted words. That's what we're called to do as believers in Christ Jesus. And my final verse today, as we send you ladies out, final two verses, still in Proverbs 31, moving to verse 30 and 31. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord, or a person who fears the Lord, is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done. Let her work bring praise, bring her praise at the city gates. Honor those around you well. Give honor where it is due. Wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, honor as unto the Lord. Honor the people in your life. Give them dignity. Give them respect. You can even honor your enemy. We had to go shake the hands of that team that crushed us last night and tell them, good game. Which it was. They played well. But we could have walked off the field and not shook their hands and not said, good game. Good luck at state. We're going to beat you for the championship trophy. But honor those around you well. Even if they're your enemies, even if they're your neighbor that you can't stand and wish would move to Arkansas or wherever you would choose. Honor people around you well. Today, mothers, we salute you. We honor you. We know life isn't always easy. We know sometimes you just need a break. Make sure you love and honor those around you well. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord God. God, that you give us, God, the availability, God, to have relationship, to grow and develop and strengthen those around us, God, to be your light shining to your world. God, that we would bring that light into the darkness, God, that we would be that salt that adds the flavor to the lives of those around us, God, that we would be kind and compassionate, God, that we would be full of your love, God, full of your gentleness. when dealing with those around us. And Father, we just thank you. We give you praise and honor and glory today. God, for the mothers in our lives. God, we ask for your grace. God, that they would have restful days, not just today, but God, in days ahead. God, that they would find those times, God, to take rest in you. God, that you would refresh and restore their souls. God, that you would mend their hearts. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you want to grab your Connect card out of your folder, should be inside there. We're going to have the ushers come forward, and they'll pick up tithe and offering and Connect cards also. So if you want to fill that out for us, drop it in the offering baskets as they come by in a little bit. There's also an offering envelope in there if you choose to use one of those. Feel free. There's an invite card. Our daily Bible reading program is in there, and also the calendar of things we have going on here in May. Make sure you grab those. We have a lot of events going on that are on the calendar that aren't announced up here. So make sure you check it out. Father, we just thank you, God, for your blessings, your generosity into our lives, God. And we thank you for those who give, God, according to your word. God, with a cheerful heart, God, to serve your kingdom financially, God. And we just ask that you would, God, continue to bless those who give and that which is given, God, according to the promises of your word. And God, we thank you for your generosity toward us, God, and your love and your compassion towards us. Father, we thank you. God, we ask you bless that which is given, God, to bring, God, the lost into your kingdom. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you could drop your offering and Connect cards in the basket as it comes by, that would be awesome. Also, just a reminder, ladies, there's flowers on the table and back. Make sure you pick one of those out. Take it home today. And be reminded that we love you and we honor you in all that you do. And thank Trina if you get a chance. She's probably locked away in the East Wing over here with the kids. But if you see her, she and the children's department purchased all the flowers and got them here for you today. So thank you very much, Trina. When she watches this later, she'll hear that. And thank you, children's department. And also, thank you, hospitality team, for serving so well, for meeting, greeting, everything you do here at the Life Center. I'm going to invite the prayer team forward. If you have any prayer needs today, we'd love to give you the opportunity to be prayed over, prayed with, meet and agree in prayer, whatever you need today. Maybe you just need to share your heart and want to agree with someone in prayer. Maybe you would say, yeah, I'm one of those mothers that have been struggling. I've been hurt, I've been wounded, I've been rejected, I've been abandoned, and I would like to meet with Jesus and see what his restoration is all about. Maybe you're one of those single widower fathers that is trying to just navigate, like, how do I take care of my kids and fill the gap? And would just like some wisdom and instruction in that. I would like to agree with someone in prayer for that. And maybe you have something totally unrelated with Mother's Day that you would like to come forward and get prayer for. But we urge you to come forward, get prayer. People who are prayed for do better. Also, if you just want to meet with God on your own, just avoid them, come around them. The altar is open. Come forward and pray and receive God and all that he has for you. So I'm going to close in prayer, then we'll dismiss you, and then you're welcome to come forward and get prayer. Father, we thank you, God. God, for this beautiful day. God, for this air-conditioned building, for these comfortable seats. God, we thank you for the many blessings in our lives today, and especially today, God, we thank you for and give honor to the mothers, God, that have cared for, that have nurtured, that have trained and equipped and taught us, instructed us, God, that we could be the men and women we are today. And God, I ask that you would use us from this day forward, God, to look for opportunities to teach, train, and develop those around us, God, in your instruction, in your ways. And Father, we just thank you, God, for your grace, for your mercy, God, for your blessing in our lives. And God, we ask for your wisdom and counsel as we go about our week, God, that you would lead and direct us. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have an amazing Mother's Day. Come forward, get prayer. We'll see you guys next week.